Our scripture reading is from John chapter 7, as you can see in the slide. John chapter 7 from verse 25 to 31 and 37 to 39. And I will read for us from ESV translation. John chapter 7. Verse 25. Some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, "Is not this man whom they seek to kill? And here he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? But we know where this man comes from. And when Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from." So Jesus proclaimed as he taught in the temple, "You know me and you know where I come from, but I have not come my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me." So they were seeking to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. Yet many of the people believed in him. They said, "When the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done?" And from verse 37 to 39, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified." My focus text is from verse 37 to 39. I will repeat it again. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow the rivers of living water. Now this is said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified." Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ offers living water for us and through us to the thirsty world. And this is my theme for today. And I've got three sort of things. First, Jesus Christ is inviting us all to come and drink the living water. Second, he promises that the rivers of living water will flow out of our hearts. And the third, this can only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. Imagine you are thirsty and you bought your favorite cold drink and you are just contemplating to drink, and someone walks up to you and says, "Don't drink that, it's bad for you. Here is the bottle of water, drink and quench your thirst." And we all know that water is, next to oxygen, a very important element that one can give to their body. In fact, our body consists of 60 to 80% of water. And lack of water or dirty water can cause us dehydration and cause us death. And this is why we need clean water. And every day and every moment. And we would have a different reaction to this man who walks up to us. Some would suspect and some would say, some would just walk over the truth and drink their own cool drink while looking at the water. The same with our spiritual thirst, brothers and sisters. We all need to be spiritually hydrated every day, every moment. And the right place to get this spiritual water is Jesus Christ. He's inviting us all to drink from Him. And this is my first theme, that Christ is inviting us all to come and drink this living water. In verse 37, if you look, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood offering this living water. And this feast was celebrated for two reasons. First, that the harvest in Israel was done. So people celebrated that no more work, the grain has been stored. Now we can rest. And then the second thing is to memorize their ancestor when they were in Egypt. All the Jews from all over the world, they came to Jerusalem for a week camping. Imagine if you have a week camping in the middle of, after your hard work. And people, they made a tent. So the festival of booths is called the festival of booths. And literally to pitch a tent or a tabernacle. And they made it out of leafy branches. They didn't have this fancy tent that we have. And during this feast, the young generation of Israel were to reminded God's provision to their ancestor when God rescued them from Egypt. How God provided them manna and water from the rock in the desert, and God's presence in the pillar of cloud and light, the fire leading them. And at the same time, Israel had to look forward to the future when God's spirit will be poured out, and the promised in the last day, God's promise will be fulfilled through the act of cleansing, restoration, judgment, and His sovereignty over all creation will be established. It's the scripture verse, Zechariah verse 13, 1 and 14. This feast was celebrated for 7 days of the 7 months according to Jewish calendar. Each morning of these 7 days began with a water pouring ceremony. A priest would descend to the pool of Siloam with a golden pot in the midst of great music and celebration. All the Jews would celebrate, and the priest would return back to the temple with this water and go around the altar for 7 times chanting, "Oh, then work now salvation, O Yehovah, bring prosperity." Then he would pour water into a silver basin next to the altar, and Israel will see, all the Jewish people will see and shout, "Great Hosanna," rejoice while looking at the water. And then after, they will dismantle their booths, their tent. And in verse 37, the last day talks about the great day. It was custom on the 8th day that all the elders of the Jews and people will gather together, and then they will talk about this feast, how great it was. And some would gladly keep the feast for 8th day. No more water pouring ceremony is going on, but sacrifices went on. So this is the 8th day, most fitting for Jesus. Jesus has claimed that if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He is speaking at the great crowd, at the great day, as an opportunity for maximum effect. And because it was also his last festival before his crucifixion. And where is he standing? You should go and read chapter 7 completely. You will see where is he standing. He stood up at the temple courts and went at the last day. No more water is being poured at the temple that Jews loved, or they look forward to the future. And how is he saying? He's crying out in white, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. The emphasis of the feast, God provided water in the desert. God's promise has been fulfilled in Christ. Act of cleansing is going to be in Christ. Restoration and judgment, his sovereignty over all world through Christ. And Jesus boldly calling them to himself. Look, the Father has sent me to fulfill all these promises. It is me who will clean your sin. It is me who will justify you, not the sacrifices. It is me who will restore your relationship with Father. Come and drink and be satisfied your deepest spiritual need. And moreover, look forward to the life eternally with God. Jesus using thirst as a picture that we all, even Jewish people, had it. Anyone, doesn't matter who you are, Pharisees, Sadducees, young, old, elders, Sanhedrin, anyone. I am the one you are celebrating. I am the one who is supposed to be your greatest joy by looking at me. But what was the response of Jews? They did not acknowledge Jesus as Messiah. The knowledge made them blind and ignorant. They were so obedient to the Lord in sacrificing and following all these offerings that they rejected Christ. They tried hard and harder keeping the law, but they couldn't see that all is pointing to Christ. Christ as a perfect sacrifice. And he is crying out. They neither liked or nor accepted Jesus as Messiah. On the top of it, they prevented him to enter Jerusalem for the feast and wanted to arrest and kill him. Why? Christ was a threat for them. He exposed their religious hypocrisy, that they know nothing of Christ. They know nothing of God. Offering sick animals, praying in the street corner so that others may see and perceive that they are religious. They missed the whole point of this feast that was to be fulfilled in Christ. They had their own imagination of this appearance of Messiah, great king, great fighter, who will fight the Roman government and establish Jews at the top. That was Jewish picture of Messiah. What about us, brothers and sisters? We as a Reformed Christian, hearing all these from our own higher tower of knowledge, looking down upon Jewish people and nodding our head, so you didn't recognize Messiah. But we are in the same boat. Religious as Jewish, have a lots of scriptural knowledge. We know what scripture says about God, what says about Christ. We greatly rejoice when the wine is being poured, when the bread is being broken at Holy Communion, coming to church every Sunday, giving offering, it satisfies us so much that we have done something. Is this what it means to believe in God? Is this what it means to know God? We think we know, but we don't know. We put barrier between God and us, between our Savior, trusting him that he will quench our thirst. We put our barrier. We can make our own things. We can satisfy ourselves. We don't want to be exposed of our sin. We don't want to be exposed of of our sinful world. What created thirst? What created this brokenness and barrier in us? This beautiful creation that Lord created had turned into this dark, dark desert after rebellions. We are running, everyone is running into this dark desert to satisfy our needs, satisfy our thirst, whatever we can find. It is such a worthless toil, except Jesus gives us the living water. False water, false spiritual waters are also provided. In Hinduism, they say, run to as many as God to satisfy your needs. 33 million gods. Fulfill your spiritual thirst by praying 5 times. That's the Muslim view. And God will be forced to satisfy your need. Buddhism, kill your desire even to be thirsty. And some people also say that who cares? Who cares? Work hard, earn money, have sex, quench your thirst. That is the world we are living in. The whole purpose of Job is saying that the word that created everything has come into being. It has been a light, bread of life. It is living water. And in John 20, 30 and 31 says that this is written that you may believe in God and the Son, Jesus Christ. He is inviting us all, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, either you are African, American, European, from Korea, India. It doesn't matter where you come from. Come, I am the one whom you are searching. Jesus is inviting. Come, drink from me, quench your thirst. Drink, it is free. I brought this gift from Father. It is free for all. Don't worry, I will bear the cost for you. I am the one whom you must look forward to. Believe in me, have faith in me. I am the Christ sent by Father. Rejoice that you will have eternal life with God. Come, all are invited. Once you receive, brothers and sisters, this water, you will be the rivers of living water. Your heart will flow the rivers of living water. This is my second sub-theme. And read verse 38 again. It means to be rivers of living water to the thirsty world, the living water that cannot be limited because we are not sourcing it. Our source is Jesus Christ, and He is the biggest, fullest dam that will never end up. He will give you, your children, you know that the tap in your houses, the water comes from somewhere else where there is a lot of plenty of water. Read, if you can read John 4, verse 13. When Samaritan woman got this real living water from Jesus Christ, she exclaimed, I have found Messiah. And she ran to the village, so that others may also receive the living water. To the people, those who were hostile to her, they didn't let her draw the water from the well when they were drawing. Christ promises us once He quenches our spiritual thirst, you will never become thirsty. Out of our own heart will flow the rivers of flowing water. And this is the good news, brothers and sisters. We will become the rivers of living water to our friends, family, colleague, wherever we go. We become an instrument which God reaches people through us, restore the spiritual thirst for other people, spread His love through you, so that others may come out of this darkness and be satisfied. Did the rivers of living water flow from Jewish people? They meant to live such a life that the other people may see them and feel that, oh, they worship the real God. They worship the one true God. They failed. They failed in worshiping the one true God. On opposite, they hated God and hated their neighbor. They failed to be most religious and God's elect. They failed to be God's people. They broke the covenant once they reached the land. And the misunderstanding knowledge made them proud. And they said, no one will know where the real Messiah comes from. Where? We know where He comes from. Therefore, Jesus, you come from Nazareth, and nothing good can come from Nazareth. Their false conclusion. Over and against their delusion, God, Jesus, who comes straight from God, the Father, He proclaims the truth that He is the Christ, and He alone knows the Father beyond. He loves beyond the measure. Our heart will flow the rivers of living water with this knowledge that Jesus is the Christ and He comes straight from Father. Is Cassette Church, if I may ask, is connected to the real stream of water that providing you the spiritual water? Are you getting enough spiritual water from Cassette Church? Yes, we do. We come on Sunday with a bottle and we receive our spiritual water in a bottle for a week. We all individual brothers and sisters need to be connected with the real streams of water. Know Christ above all and trust Him for your life. An intimate connection needed. We assume all around us is well. We easily tend to forget the world is full of broken people. We are all broken. A family, friends are hurted. Some has a visible sin and some have invisible sin. Nothing makes sense to them. The people are in this world. Nothing makes sense to them. They don't know even how do they exist. All are seeking for an answer. And what is our responsibility? As a believer, as a receiver of living water, we become a judge to the visible sin. And what about our invisible sin? We are meant to be a channel of grace to the others, providing the love of God to all and good news of the gospel too, that brings forgiveness, restoration, healing to the brokenness. They must come to taste the sweetness of the gospel through us, those who have received the living water. If living water doesn't flow from us, if living water doesn't flow from any believers, what do? We try to fit, we try to check our connection, we try to fix it by ourselves. In the spiritual sense, we try to read more and more Bible so that we can challenge people in the world. Just know that the Spirit is before you. He is at work. And it can only happen, it can only bring people to faith, to this stream of living water that we have received. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And verse 39 refers towards the Pentecost, that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit which has become truth. All the believers, along with the apostles, has received it. It still is at work, bringing new people to faith, opening their spiritual eyes to see the real Messiah. He halts in faith. Spirit becomes the guideline in the dark path. He leads to Jesus. There is so many things in this world that keeping people and capturing into this darkness. But that's where Spirit starts working, leading towards Christ, towards the hope, towards Messiah, who brings closer and closer to God. He turns our knowledge of this tower of knowledge into the wind pump. You know, in the farm there is a wind pump. Holy Spirit turns that tower into the wind pump, which constantly turning its fan and pumping water so that others may get benefits. And without the Spirit's power, we are nothing. We cannot pump water. We are just phone without a battery. We are tap without water. There, you find some Christians in this world that they confess Jesus was a good man. If you look at verse 12, and others will believe. I believe because it's a Christian country. And we know where he comes from. He was born in Bethlehem. He grew up in Nazareth, crucified in Jerusalem, died, raised again, claims to come back and judge the living and the dead. And this knowledge has nothing to do with our faith. I know the president of South Africa. Do I really know him? This government doesn't have to declare Jesus as Messiah in order for us to believe. The Jewish authority and Roman government, they knew Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They crucified him, but they didn't believe in him. In verse 37, in verse 31, many people believed. The Holy Spirit is at work. Many people believe. They said, when Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done? No. If you are a new believer and is struggling to believe Jesus as the Christ, go and look on this verse 31 and meditate upon Jesus' life and that verse. If Jesus isn't Messiah, will the new Messiah, when he comes, will he do more miracles than Jesus has done? Will he teach the gospel with more authority than Jesus has taught? Will he present a greater gospel than Jesus has done? Will he change more life, heal, raise the dead than Jesus has done? Will ye love more and suffer more than Jesus has done? Will he atone more sinners than Jesus has done? Will he die in a more glorious way, ascend to heaven in a more glorious way than Jesus has done? Last but not least, will the new Messiah gain more followers than Jesus has done? No. May the Spirit help you in this realization that Jesus has already come. And this time he will come again. He will come to take his people. Many people has falsely claimed that the COVID-19, this virus, was Jesus' second return. We don't need to think and see for a sign of Jesus' return, because we believe through the assurance of the Holy Spirit of eternal life. Actually, we should rejoice, and it will be the matter of rejoice. What a worth will be to our eyes to see our Messiah coming and taking home. It will be worth it, because he knows us and we know him. He will take us to heaven and we will live eternally. And the whole nation will confess and come to know that he is the real Messiah. May the Holy Spirit lead you and bring to this faith. And to conclude, brothers and sisters, we are all exposed of our religious hypocrisy as Jews. And even the most religious person in this entire world need Jesus to be rescued, to be found in Jesus. But Christ is inviting us to this living water. We have all tasted, isn't it? We have tasted the sweetness of his gospel, sweetness of his love. Go into the world with these flowing rivers of water and fill the people around you. And don't worry, the Spirit is at work through you, bringing people from darkness. And you know what? All men will confess, come to confess that Jesus is the Christ. Amen.